Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome inside Hour 2, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager, in for Mike. And today, look, as I've said, first hour of the show, we are on the precipice of what is going to be a momentous day in college football. All right, coming up tomorrow, we're going to find out whether or not we're really going to have a season. It was early this morning on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Patrick broke the news through sources that the vote to cancel or postpone, rather, the Big Ten football season only had two schools who voted they wanted to play instead of postponing. That was Nebraska and Iowa. Everybody else said we should postpone. There is a big meeting tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, in which all the Big Ten presidents will get together and vote on the season. There is also going to be a vote tomorrow with the Pac-12 presidents. This after they met tonight, they will vote tomorrow on the season as well. There's also going to be pushes from the ACC, potentially from the Big 12. They don't know if they're going to play or not. The SEC wants to continue to play regardless as to what the tomorrow's vote is going to be, and they're going to look into potentially playing and playing against other teams if they can. The Mountain West today postponed football and fall sports. So in the heels of the MAC conference doing it, they have decided to postpone their fall season as well. So this is where we sit going into tomorrow. Now, I've told you last hour on the show, if you can't, there's no way college football is ready to play in a couple of weeks. Postponing is a great idea. Get a handle on things and be able to say players can play with an acceptable level of controlling the virus. You can't say we control it all the way, but what's an acceptable level of being able to guarantee safety? Can't guarantee it all the way, but what's an acceptable level?
By saying not ready to play, you mean practice in full pads and get going for real, or games? Because we're not even to that
stage. When the games are supposed to start in 3 weeks, Steve, we're not even in pads. Their players aren't in pads.
Yeah.
They can't work out together yet. They're not ready to play. And schools are nervous about, and obviously right, rightfully so, what happens if kids start getting sick? What happens if kids die? Nobody wants to be that school. And the SEC, right, they even have to know that, knowing that they want to play. They got to know that if one kid dies, that could sink college football. And they have to know that. They have to know that, which makes me sit back and go, okay, who's really making these decisions? Are they taking science into decision when they say they want to keep playing? Or are they just reading what they want to read on the internet? You know, I mean, it's crazy. And I want
to
illustrate,
crazy. Yeah.
I want to illustrate that with what Jim Harbaugh had to say today, because with news that the Big Ten, the vote, and Michigan voted against starting on time, they want to postpone the season, according to Dan Patrick. This is a statement that Jim Harbaugh put out after this report got out about the vote being 12-2 to not play the college football season on time and to postpone. Jim Harbaugh wrote, "I would like to address the rumors that are swirling today. I'm not advocating for football this fall because of my passion, right, or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus on June 13th. Right? I am advocating August 10th. The virus can be controlled and handled because of these facts." Right? He's talking about the facts. Now, listen to what he outlines as his facts. The Michigan football program had 11 positive tests out of 893, right? That's pretty good. They've had two positive tests out of the last 417 administered. That's great. They have zero positive tests out of the last 353 administered. That's awesome. We have zero positive tests among the coaches or staff. That's great. There's been no contact tracing to our fields, weight room, locker room, or facility. Again, great. We have had zero pauses in our training. We have complied with all CDC guidelines. We have followed all health and safety guidelines. As Darryl Conway, our chief medical officer and a member of the Big Ten's medical advisor group, has stated, and here's where Jim Harbaugh gets in trouble with his logic, "I wish that others could see this model." All right. I understand what Jim Harbaugh is saying. We're following all the rules. We're doing it great. And it's awesome that Michigan's doing it that way. But he sounds like the parents who say, my kid needs to go back to school because everything is fine and kids have a really low chance of getting COVID-19. It's not just about your kid.
You
have to look further than yourself. And Jim Harbaugh is only looking at what his program is doing, which tells me Jim Harbaugh needs to stick to football. Because if you want to get outside of football, you got to be able to take some swings, right? You got to be able to not embarrass yourself. He sounds like that the parent that's like, well, my kid can go because my kid is fine. It's not just about your kid. It's about the other kids. It's about other kids who may have COVID-19 and could infect your kids. What about the administrators and the teachers that have to go? They're older, right? But they're okay to go, right? My kid can go, right? What about the other the people you're asking to put their lives on the line by going? When you have one adult in a room full of 30 some odd kids. And let's face it, what happens in school? If a kid is sick, parents send the kid to school. All right, it happens. I've seen it I've seen it so many times. Kids go to school when they're sick because parents have to work. You're okay, you can go to school. Jim Harbaugh's got to see outside of himself and outside of the Michigan football team. And the fact he doesn't by saying that the chief medical officer said, I wish others could see this model. He's telling you, other schools don't have this model, all right? For everything you're doing right, you have Alabama and LSU at all these schools with all these crazy-ass positive COVID-19 tests because potentially, allegedly, they could be trying to use herd immunity, right? It's not just about you. You could be doing the right things, but you could go out and wind up getting infected. You could wind up going out and because you want to push for a situation that endangers other people, that's what's going to happen. You have to look outside yourself and say, it's not just about me. And Harbaugh said, but we're doing it right. And I get that that's his act. Michigan, we do it right, right? We attack the day with fervor unknown to mankind.
Okay,
we do everything the right. I understand all. I get that's Jim Harbaugh's act. It can get wearisome, especially when you haven't beaten Ohio State. But I get that. I get that part of it. That's who he is. But he sounds like someone who's so ill-informed on COVID-19 that
or
doesn't
tunnel
really
vision.
Understand outside of it. Right. And this is, you know, this is why when I say who's, you know, I want to make sure the right people are making the right decisions in college football. And it's not just blindly, we've had no tests, we can go play. You know, I forget who it was today that said, one of the other schools today said, we talked to dozens of doctors and they say there's no reason to postpone college football. Really? You talk to who are those doctors? Who are those doctors that say there's not? Who are those doctors right there? Or are you just finding stuff on the internet that suits the argument you want?
Because other doctors have said you need a 6-week ramp-up period for kids and sports for college football. So you're going to have to make this decision in the next few weeks one way or another if you're going to have a fall college football season. That's what doctors would say.
Mm-hmm.
To have a college football season that's a full season, even close to a full season. My analogy with what you just said would go to another sport, baseball, because the Philadelphia Phillies are not the Cardinals. They're not the Marlins. The Phillies did not have some rash of positive test. All they did was host the Marlins a couple weekends ago. And then guess what? Their next 4-game series against the Yankees completely postponed just because the Marlins were in their park in Philadelphia. It wasn't the Phillies who were the ogre of the National League causing this massive shift in the schedules, and that we've seen the Cardinals, as was mentioned last hour, the Cardinals have played 5 whole games the entire season. The Phillies got affected too, even after their win tonight. The Phillies are 5-6. Their opponent tonight has played 18 games so far. Everything is connected, and don't forget it.
I mean, I understand. Look, I want to say I understand because I do. Because whenever somebody says something like this and I disagree with what they're saying, I want to understand where they come from. And if you have not had any positive COVID-19, if you've not had a brush with it over the course of the last 4.5-5 months, and you are running a program, and here's up, we got no positive test today, coach. That's great. We had no positive. I can see where you can get a little bit. You get a little bit outside of, all right, we can push the parameters. Now we're fine. We're fine. And if you've been fine for a long time, that's what happens. Look, that's what happens in life. You know, people who are okay and haven't been had to worry about COVID-19 over the course of the past few months, is everybody still inside the house, not going out, and you are disinfecting everything that comes into the house like you used to? No, probably not, because you feel better. You feel more confident because you haven't gotten it. I don't need to disinfect it. In fact, I can order food from someplace. I can go out and have dinner someplace as long as I eat outside and I do the right thing. Everybody is doing a little bit more to try to expose themselves to more life because it's been okay for a long time and it's worked out. So I get that. But what Jim Harbaugh, he doesn't get that you are taking an equation that is, okay, here's everybody in this room, and it's all 100 of us. Okay, well, now you're talking about a game in which you are probably traveling to, and how you're traveling there could open you up to COVID-19. You're going to play against another team where you could wind up getting COVID-19 from them because they don't take the same type of precautions that you have. It's just going to happen that way. I mean, that's just how it goes. But I wish that people who want to say things like Harbaugh, they can understand that part of it. And I don't think they do. I think there's no way he understands it because you're playing against somebody. It's going to happen. I mean, you're going to get some. Look at what's going on in Major League Baseball. These are professionals, guys that are getting paid in the hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. So basically what people are getting paid to go to Michigan. So everybody's getting paid all this money. And still, you have guys going out to hotel bars and going out where they shouldn't be and exposing themselves to COVID-19 because they can't help it. And now you're talking about you got 100 kids. And you can't use the argument of, well, how are you going to stop the kids from doing what they're doing? Exactly. How are you going to stop the kids from doing what they're doing? You can't oversee them 24/7. Look, Nick Saban even said, well, let's face it, the kids are better off with us than they are at home going out and doing different things.
Yeah, why is that?
How come? And can you do that? So you're going to keep everybody? No one's going to get to see anybody? You keep them all in a bubble? Every college football, you can keep that program in a bubble?
You don't
really,
keep them from getting arrested. You don't keep them from getting the fights the night after the game. And since, Jason, the topic and should be the college football season this week, it's a legitimate, obviously, topic. But here's what bothers me about some sports topics in general, but specifically this one. People that want to say, well, yeah, let's just go ahead and play the college football season, and they've never even considered the details of what that involves. Talk to somebody who's in the NBA bubble, for example, and what has had to go on to pull that off. Forget the $150 million they're purportedly spending just to pull this off and finish a season. I mean, they had to, since no one's leaving that bubble, buy 66 washing machines and 66 dryers and take the old batting cage that the Braves used to use at the Disney complex and make it the laundry room. I mean, the amount of things that they had to think of in advance and have an expenditure for, nobody would have thought of in the general populace. So, as we go to college football, let's start with COVID-19 testing, because you cannot conduct a season this year in any sport without testing. This isn't a professional sport. I hate to break it to you, but half the college football teams in Division I don't make money on their football program. So they're all going to have to shell out the kind of money on testing that we're seeing the NHL shell out, because they're spending millions on testing. Why? Because there's a players union. And the union wasn't going to come back unless they were going to have daily testing, because they were concerned as athletes for their health. And that's in a hub city. That's in a bubble environment. What does college need to do as far as just expenditures? Think of the details of how they have to pull, what they have to do to pull this off.
Remember when in the beginning when the Ivy League canceled their tournament in college basketball and we had a couple of cancellations, and then but the general consensus was, they're not going to cancel the NCAA tournament.
That's
there's
right.
No way. There's too much money at stake.
That's March Madness.
As soon as Duke and Kansas said, we're not coming, that thing got canceled right away. Right away. So don't tell me you can't cancel stuff, because that's exactly what happened.
Details is the point, because people bring up college football playoff ought to be expanded. Let's have 16 teams. Okay, have you even considered the details? Do you know how much one ticket for a fan to one of these playoff games costs?
Know.
And now you're saying three consecutive weekends and three different hotels and booking three different flights. And nobody, it seems, has considered the details, which are necessary to actually, you know, pull it off.
Let me just say this, because I think this will be a button hook on a lot of things. And no matter where you are at as far as should college football play as scripted or should it be postponed, when the coronavirus first came, right, and sports got halted, the reasoning was, well, if things get better, we can play sports again. Right? That's what it was. For everything. If things get better, we can play sports again. Well, we've actually gotten some sports back, right? We got the NBA back, sure. Right? And it's been going great. We've got the NHL back. We got the MLS back. They start the MLS season again on Wednesday night.
At home sites, yeah.
Exactly. So it's going to be like Major League Baseball. You're going to play at home sites, but there's not going to be fans. We've gotten baseball back. Baseball is living day to day, as we see. But we've gotten baseball back. We've gotten all this back. And now the question is about football. Oh, football. Yeah. But let me just say this, and this is what's going to win. This is what wins it, is that can you say right now we're better off and we things have gotten better for COVID-19? They haven't. No matter how you cut it up, they haven't. More people are dying. We are the worst at it than anybody else in the world. And we have not shown that we have gotten on top of this. There's more cases. States are going up more and more than they have even at the beginning of COVID-19. So you can't say we've gotten better. And now you're still going to be upset if the football season gets postponed. We haven't gotten better. And I think we should be lucky that we felt that we've gotten back what we've gotten back. The fact that we've gotten back three or four major sports is awesome. We got NASCAR. We got golf. We're going to see those through to the end. NBA, we're seeing through to the end. NHL, we're seeing. We got a lot of stuff back. And that's real. I feel really fortunate that we got those back. But because things haven't gotten better, and we've still gotten those sports back. So really, I don't know how you can say, well, it's safe enough to play football when things haven't gotten better.
Hey, one thing before the break, we do have a no-hit bid in progress at Houston. Lance McCullers Jr. is the starting pitcher. 6 scoreless innings, no-hit innings with 5 strikeouts, no walks against the Giants. Houston up 6-0. They're just starting the top of the 7th. McCullers did hit a batter, so it is not a perfect game bid. 73 pitches through the first 6 innings.
See, now when you say a no-hit game involving the Astros, you have to explain it because people think this means no batters have gotten hit. All right, so that's where, okay, so very good. So no hit bid right now for Lance.
Apparently
McCullers.
No insults of moms. They've just been playing baseball.
You know what? Hey, luckily for McCullers, he went and worked out in the outfield right before game 7. He wouldn't be throwing this no-hitter if he wasn't. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Phone number 877-99 on Fox. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we got more with our best and biggest college football insider. What he expects to see tomorrow when all the big voting is done by the Big 12, by Big 10, by the Pac-12. Keep it right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Steve DeSager in tonight for Mike Harmon.
We have AutoZone an update. Has more.
What'd you say, Steve?
I said we'll have an update on that no-hitter.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There is news. Go ahead.
Let me tell you about AutoZone for a second, because they have more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast and get in the zone. AutoZone.
It sounds like right, your so college you band in the background, by the way. Here.
It is a little bit. It is. It's kind of a little bit of a techno, little freestyle. Yeah, I like it. All right, so what happened? The Lance McCullers no-hitter. When we talk Astros no-hit bid, it doesn't mean that players haven't gotten hit on the team. It means a pitcher is pitching a no-hitter.
He had a no-hit bid, up 6-0 over the Giants, top of the 7th in Houston, and that's past tense, people, because what was ruled a double down the left field line has broken it up. Alex Bregman, the third baseman, was playing way off the line in Houston. He took 3 steps to his right, seemed to be there, and the ball went under his glove and down the line for, quote, a clean double, the first hit of the night, still the only hit for the Giants so far. It's Houston 6, Giants 1, bottom of the 7th now. And the guy who had that double, Donovan Solano, is the leading hitter in the majors this year out of nowhere. In fact, since June of last year, he's batting .375. He has a career-best 15-game hitting streak. Here in this matchup, you have the Giants with the worst defense in the majors so far, 18 errors. Minnesota as a team has 2, just for the record, as a comparison. And Houston on a 5-game losing streak can't even get the no-hitter right. He was there and didn't field it at third.
All right, so there we go. The Astros no-hit bid. Still, nobody has gotten hit on the Astros, but now Lance McCullers no-hitter is
over. Lance McCullers did hit one other batter.
He hit somebody, right, but yeah. They haven't been hit. But the game's still young. We got to wait. You got to wait. Listen, the first base coach could get mouthy. You know, it could happen. We might get him. But outside of that, obviously, we are all waiting with bated breath to find out what the vote is going to come in for college football tomorrow, as the Pac-12 and the Big Ten both have votes scheduled, whether or not they're going to play their season on time, play beginning the weekend of September 26th, or postpone until the spring. We saw the Mountain West Conference already say they're postponing to the spring on the heels of the MAC announcing that the other day. What's going to happen tomorrow? Joining us on the hotline, no one better than the editor-in-chief at Pro Football at collegefootballnews.com. I say pro football because, you know, everybody's getting paid. Collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football. Everything you need. Friend of the show, Pete Futek. Pete, what's happening, buddy?
You know what? It's a fantastic slip of the tongue because I'm like Helen Hunt in Castaway. I've moved on. Mentally, I'm ready to start covering NFL for the next 3 months. I have a friend who's got a fantastic theory on Castaway, by the way, that she was basically cheating on Tom Hanks the whole time because the timeline doesn't work. But I've moved on. I've mentally moved on. And just like, look, last night, basically, I couldn't find you anymore, college football. You are dead to the world. And now all of a sudden, you're kind of not dead. Somebody come up with a decision already on something, but they can't. And that's kind of the problem is when you have a situation like this where you have all these conferences trying to figure it out and everything changes day by day, and the Big Ten is supposed to start up in early September, so it kind of has to make a decision now. The SEC doesn't start up until late September. It can wait a few more weeks. And this was just ugly today. I mean, now what do you do if you're the Big Ten? It's been reported that 12 of the 14 presidents originally wanted to cancel the season. And so now either you have a PR disaster on your hands after what happened today, after letting the coaches and players spout off, or you decide, you know what, we're going to keep the season going, and then it looks like you caved to football. Either way, it's a bad look for the Big Ten right now.
So what do you expect to see tomorrow? At the end of the day, when the dust is settled, what Power 5 conference are doing what? Where are we at?
Okay, my guess, this is just speculation because it's all insane right now. It seems like the ACC is still a go. They've maintained some radio silence over all this. They seem like they're okay. The SEC is kind of militantly on board with, yeah, we're doing this. And there's kind of a point here. The Big 12 is kind of wavering. They're not entirely sure, but Texas seems to be full go. And if Texas is a go, that kind of sets the tone for everybody else. I'm shocked the Pac-12 is still playing football, thinking about playing football at all. They were out from the beginning here. And I don't know technically how you do this if you're the Pac-12, considering all the restrictions placed in the various Pac-12 cities. That's a 50-50 shot. And I actually think there's sort of life support right now for the Big Ten because it's such a hot mess after they let this go all day. And now there's talk of, you know, you let Nebraska spout off and say that, we're going to play anywhere. We might play Big 12 games this year. And then you have Ohio State saying, hey, we want to play too if Nebraska gets to do this. And they just have not reined this in. I guessing tomorrow the Big Ten, when they show up at 10:30 Eastern, they're going to say something that they're going to delay another week and give it some more thought.
So when you think about the reaction from the SEC, let's just say, they're going to want to keep playing. Nebraska, Scott Frost has said, we're going to look for teams that want to play. Lincoln Riley says they want to keep playing. Is that something that's feasible? Let's just say that you get a couple of conferences tomorrow. We get the Big Ten saying, all right, we're going to postpone, and the Pac-12 says the same thing. Can we really have some schools play in the fall or at some point, and then some schools play in the spring and have some kind of D1 college football season?
I don't think you can have – I think the spring thing is just forget it. You can't – they're just saying that because they want to cushion the blow if you don't have fall football. Look, you can't go out there and say, you know, our medical experts are telling us we can't do this. for fall football. Look, at the end of the day, they might be right. You know, it's not popular. No one likes it. But, okay, look, we're in a global pandemic. We all, even the people who are fighting it, really have to deep down sort of kind of get it. But you can't do that and then say, oh, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have these kids play two college football seasons in a span of 10 months. You know, you know. First of all, who wants to play college football in Minneapolis and Madison in early February? But beyond that, what are you going to do? You're going to end your season in May and 2 months later start training camp? You know, a good point was brought up today by some, I forget who tweeted it, but what happens if you have some star sophomore suffer a massive injury in that first, you know, season in March, and he can't come back for the next year, and he loses two seasons? Like, it's a whole logistical mess. I don't think you're having spring football, but I do think that if the Big Ten and Pac-12 say, we're not going, these other conferences could still go. And I've talked to you guys about this before. I hate saying anything political, but it's become that today. All those schools you mentioned, all those conferences you mentioned, red state schools, little different attitudes towards things as opposed to the bluish states, Pac-12 and bluish states, Big Ten, where if you lose a college football season, if you're the Pac-12, yeah, it stinks, but the fan bases are going to be like, okay, we got it. You lose a college football season in Nebraska or in the SEC country, that's religion. That's politically bad. And you saw this as soon as the Big Ten was rumored to be canceling things today. What did you get? You got Ben Sasse from Nebraska, congressman who came out and, you know, made this big thing saying, oh, we need to play college football. And then, of course, Donald Trump tweeted out that we want to play things. So this got politicized fast, and I do think it's going to follow along, you know, just those red state, blue state lines more than might want it to.
Pete, this is Steve. Do you still hear what we heard a lot a few weeks ago, which is if regular students are not allowed on campus, how possibly can players be there every week, that logic?
Here's the weird part. It's actually sort of flipped. Because, and this is where, you know, I'm not really kind of buying into the whole we want to play movement. I think that's, it's cute, but the college presidents are like, whatever. Okay, we're going to do what we want. But they do kind of have a point where they're probably a whole lot safer in a structured environment where they are getting tested regularly and monitored and have access to 24-hour health care and all the things that you get when you're a major college football player. The regular students are going to be on campus, and they're supposedly going to lock down, where you've got these articles coming out where there's an article in the AP the other day that said, well, the students on campus are going to be asked no keg parties, no, you know, traveling, no convening in the areas. Like, yeah, good luck with that. You know, so it's actually become the students are on campus and can't do anything and are probably a whole lot less safe than the college football players would be.
Pete Futek, College Football Insider Publisher, collegefootballnews.com. Our guest, Jason Smith, Steve DeSager here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get outside of COVID-19 for a second, Steve, because we saw the president say that they're concerned about what could happen to a player's heart with the effects of COVID-19, which is something that we've seen documented, that what happens to your body if you have a particularly severe case of this. How much of the decision to postpone is part of the, boy, college football players really look like they're going to organize right now and they want their own union, and Trevor Lawrence is saying they want to play, and suddenly we have the we are united aspect of it, and we could unionize the players and they want to unionize themselves and we don't want that, so we're not going to play.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. Let's just call the – if they cancel, let's just call the squashing of the player movement a sweetener for the presidents when it comes to this. I think it's there are several parts of this, especially when it comes to the Power Five. Look, not to be totally cynical, but if, for example, the MAC didn't lose all its non-conference paycheck games, I mean, they had like 21 games against Power Five schools that they lost. I think the MAC is probably still around, maybe that too for the Mountain West, but it's the lack of money and on top of it, the fact that you've got the concerns from the medical experts. Because basically the medical experts are saying, what are you doing? You can't do this. You know, look, we're in a global pandemic. The answer to things are just no. So it just comes out to how much risk tolerance do you want to have and how much do you want to do with this? So you have the COVID side. You have the financial side. And, oh, yeah, if we could just take this player movement and just wrap it up in a ball and throw it away, yeah, that kind of helps their cause as well. So that's certainly a part of it. And, look, the we want to play movement, they need professional help. I mean, like, not like psychological, but like professional representation help. Because what you have is you had the "we want to play" movement, which showed how desperate these guys are. And then after they do this, they're like, "Oh yeah, we're going to demand things." Well, guys, look into the word leverage. You know, you lost it. You know, so they're not going to unionize. You can't. You know, that's been squashed in 2014. But the fact that they have a voice, all right, that's a little something, but college presidents aren't going to do something just because Trevor Lawrence is, you know, tweeting stuff.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek, college football insider extraordinaire. Soon to be publisher of profootballnews.com.
Do you have a domain name, Pete? It's going to be college football. There's going to be college football. There will be something on tomorrow when they announce it.
All right. I just know if you own the website for profootballnews.com. If you
should, I own fantasyfootballnews.com, but yeah, right. We'll do something.
Very good, sir. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you.
See you guys.
All right. Hey, great stuff there from Pete Futek. And look, obviously, you know, we talked about the political aspect of things in that. And he's right. You know, I was thinking about this today, that look at how it's breaking down blue state, red state. And look at how the Pac-12 was very much, hey, we want to make sure we're safe before we're going to play. And look at the Big Ten, which are big swing type states. You have Michigan, you have Ohio, you have Pennsylvania. You know, Michigan, surprisingly, says we're not going to play. We don't want to play college football yet. We want to postpone it. You know, Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, has been at one of the touchstones at the heart of the big debate. Remember early on in COVID-19, she wanted to keep the state closed. The state wanted to open up. It's a big debate. And this gets into the fact that, you know what, for all the stick to sports stuff, that's going to wind up being, and it's in the process of being, something that you just can't apply anymore. You know, and I get the whole, well, I tune into sports. I don't want to hear anything about politics. And for the most part, we can stay out of it. But there's times when things are politicized, and this college football season is being politicized. Look, President Trump went in and said, we should be playing. It's going to be impossible.
And what was his logic for we should be playing?
Well,
they've worked hard.
They've worked hard, yes. Okay. Everybody's worked hard. So they should
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But that's the thing. Hey, we're going to Thailand. Don't forget, coming up in a couple hours, Thailand. But that's the whole thing is that we're not going to be able to get out of sports and politics. You know, athletes want their political views known, and politicians want to be involved in sports and have a say in what sports does. You can't get out of it. You know, and it's for a long time to stick to sport, but that's like the relic of a bygone era now. Stick to sport. Nobody sticks to sport. You can't do it. The biggest things that people are talking about, want to know, unfortunately, are politicized. We live in an age right now where every day the biggest news is something with politics, and it's what happened today, or what does this mean? That's kind of how we are right now. And is the genie ever going back in the bottle for that? No, it's not. So, you know, to say, okay, we'll stick to sports. Sports is going to stay out of it. It's not. You know, and you can try to stem the tide at it, but that's not the way the world is going. That's not the way athletes are going. Athletes want to be heard. Politicians want to be heard for sports. So it's really something that's just going to happen. And if the athletes want it, and if the politicians want it, well, guess what? Sports and politics, it's going to be chocolate and peanut butter, like the old Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial where you've got your peanut butter and
mixed,
my chocolate.
Yeah.
You've got your chocolate and my peanut butter. Because, you know, people walk around with open peanut butter jars and people just drop chocolate in them. That's kind of how it's going to be.
That's right. That used to happen back in the 80s.
I used to love that commercial. The one guy walks around with an open jar of peanut butter, just wide open. And where you go?
And your chocolate got in my peanut butter.
I'm not in my house dipping crackers in it or no. No, I'm walking around in public and someone else said chocolate and chocolate's getting. And how could you get your peanut butter in someone's chocolate if someone drops the chocolate into your peanut butter? Someone clearly drops the chocolate into your peanut butter.
Tasty,
it's not
though.
The other way around.
By the way, as far as states opening too soon and whether they admit it or not, some states did open too soon. Some have acknowledged that I was reminded of that on the Athletic piece on the St. Louis Cardinals today. Quote, the Cardinals now acknowledge they came back too soon and are adopting now a more conservative approach to containing their outbreak. Meanwhile, as we mentioned earlier, the Cardinals have still only played 5 games this season. The Atlanta Braves have played 18.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. And coming up in a few minutes, we'll get into the Kyle Kuzma game winner. Suddenly, Steve DeSager, the Lakers are winning the championship. Kyle Kuzma
game.
Hits a three to beat the Nuggets backups, and now the Lakers are winning the championship now.
He hit the game-winning shot in the final second over Bull Bull.
I mean, it was a great play. He could have easily just dished it low to Anthony Davis, who would have gone in for a layup. I mean,
the game was tied.
Yeah, they had a great play set up. They didn't need the three, but he was open. He had it. He could have easily, when Bol Bol came out on him, just give a nice little shovel pass to Anthony Davis, who's going right in for a layup that wins the game as well. Was a great final play for the Lakers. Now everything is solved. Everything is solved. Everything is solved. There's no more issues.
They've shot well for one game.
Yes.
On to the title.
Yes. But look, let's be real here before we get on, is that you can't throw too much into what's going on in the bubble outside of the teams who are fighting for that 8-9 spot in the Western Conference. Everybody else is getting set when the basketballs fly for real, which is the beginning of the playoffs. The Lakers started off poorly, right? They had the big win over the Clippers. Okay, great. And then they were bad. They couldn't score 100 points. Now they're scoring over 100 points. Kyle Kuzma's playing well. Everything is fine. It's no different for the Lakers than it was before they started the bubble, mid-bubble now, where they'll be at the end. Everything is fine. Teams are getting set to be the best version of themselves. They didn't win or lose a championship if Kyle Kuzma makes or misses that three tonight at the end. Everything is just fine.
You mentioned minutes before the break. The Denver starters tonight each played about 25 minutes.
Everybody was in 25 minutes each other. Even the backups all came in. Everybody had about 25 minutes of game time.
LeBron and Anthony Davis each played 38 minutes in this game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got to get this win. We got to win this game.
They did, honestly.
Well, LeBron was playing until he got a rebound. That was, because he
sorry,
went so long without
didn't want to get skunk
one.
There. But no, yeah. I mentioned on last night's show, the usual Sunday night show I'm on, that you can't say this doesn't mean anything, the way the Lakers had shot in the bubble and lost so many games the last couple of weeks, because this is exactly how you get eliminated from the playoffs. You have five straight games of poor shooting. That's what had happened.
So we'll have more on this coming up in a few minutes. But today, you know, we mentioned the St. Louis Cardinals a few minutes ago about now how they have 45 days to play 55 games. It's no longer feasible for them to play and finish the season. And, you know, we said this last week that baseball's got to figure out a way to get everybody to play the same number of games. And with the COVID-19 outbreaks and teams getting games postponed, you can't just keep loading up doubleheaders. It's impossible. At some point, Rob Manfred is either going to have to pause the season so teams can play makeup games, or cut the games down from 60 to 50 or 60 to 55, whatever it's going to be, 60 to 52, and players still get paid the same amount of money, because that's the only way that's going to make it fair. Because you can't go by winning percentage. Oh, but the so-and-so made the playoffs. They played 10 less games and they made a play. It's too tough to do that. And I feel like baseball is waiting around thinking it's going to solve itself. Like, Rob, man, we're not quitting. We're just going to keep going forward and playing. Yeah, but teams are missing games all the time. So eventually you got to make a decision at some point. And yes, it was your lack of foresight. What's going to happen if games get canceled? Nope, because we jammed everything into 2 months. But at some point, they're going to have to deal with this and say, all right, well, we got to cut the games down in order to, or we sit up, we have a pause and we make up the games. Whatever it is, that's
and
something has to happen.
It's expanded playoffs this year, remember, so that would then have to, if you try and get all the games in, you give them an extra few days at the end of the season, in other words, let's get all the games in, then you have to delay the expanded playoffs because you've got no holes in the October schedule anymore, because you filled that up with more postseason games for more money, and then now you are going to have World Series finishing in November. You know, in the NBA, we mentioned this earlier in the show, it's about 75-game season instead of 82, so it's not as drastic, and most teams are around 75, but the Spurs might miss the playoffs for the first time in almost 25 years because of the whole winning percentage tiebreaker. It's an uneven number of games played.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager, coming up next. What are we going to see tomorrow in the seismic day of college football? Fox.